And if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to ask you to do something very prophetic. Because some of us, when we pray, our spirits are engaged, but our souls are not. And it takes the engagement of your spirit, soul, and body for prayer to find maximum effect. I'd like you to remember the prayer. How many of us joined us this morning on PBH? Fantastic. We're going to pray right now. You are here live. That is the benefit of being here live. And those who are joining us at home can do the same if you are watching online. But you have a greater advantage. He said, when I arrived at Troas, I noticed that the Lord had opened the door. When I arrived at Troas, he said, I noticed that the Lord had opened a great door of opportunity. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12, the Passion Translation. When I arrived at the place where I was to come and minister, to come and do business, to come and offer my proposal, he said, upon arriving there, I discovered that God had arrived there before me. I'm not sure you want me to preach you to understand that. You are students of prophecy. You are prophetic. Amen. I hope that scripture is on the screen. It said, furthermore, when I came, I want you to give me the Passion Translation later. When I came to Troas to preach Christ, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. Can you give me now the Passion Translation? And I will read it for you. When I arrived Troas, bringing the wonderful news of Christ, the Lord opened a great door of opportunity. When I arrived. I'm going to ask you to pray like you've not prayed before. The Bible also makes us understand in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9, the same Passion Translation. It said there is an amazing door of opportunity standing wide open for me. It is standing wide open for me. So you can see the balance with the scripture we read before. A door was standing wide open for me, so that when I arrived there, it was still open. Now, I'm sure you know that the Red Sea was a type of a door. Right? Everything you know about a door, you see at the Red Sea. Every door has a floor. Every door has a side. Two sides to every door. And a passway in every door. So what God created in the Red Sea was a door. Am I talking to somebody? But here's the game. God kept the door opened until all of them passed through. You are going to take some walk from where you are seated today. I'd like you to take some steps forward wherever you want to go and begin to declare from January to the end of this year, my Father, hold my doors open until my assignment is over. Hold my doors open until my assignment is over. Hold my doors open. Keep my doors open until my assignment is over. Open your mouth and speak to God in prayer. Hold my doors open. Oh, Shadabako Sedabande. Lekatoze Baradas to the atar. Lekaponde Ratoze Berendos. Hold my doors open until my assignment is over. Yes, Lord. Chatebonde la baros keta la basia, reparos baratosiete, birmanon keta la zastopia. Your doors will not be short. Your doors will not be short. Your doors will not be short. Ekadosia raboshatasia, lekotobradase katesia, pontobalkatosia mashtola. Your doors will not be short. Your doors will not be shut. Your doors will not be shut. Get to Valdebira Nosa. It upon the la casa. Pastovia. Yatoshkabezi. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen, we're not done. I don't know if God is going to lead us. Listen carefully to this. Pastor Shum, I learned something recently from a man of God. That's about 4 years ago. He said, Pastor Sam, he said, Paul talked about the door of utterance. Then calls another one the door of ministry. Another one the door of faith. He said, Pastor Sam, if the door of utterance is open to you and the door of faith is not open, you will speak but you will not see signs. And if the door of utterance is open and the door of faith is open and you don't have the door of ministry, the door of ministry, when it is open, means that is why suddenly you find people inviting, things happening. Whenever you see a man that doors are just opening for, the door of that thing has been opened to the person. So for you, it may be the door of marketing. It may be the door of the ICT world. Every sector has a door. Every sector has a door. And until the door is open, you're outside. You can have utterance, you can have faith, but you'll be outside. You will cry to God like you really mean it. You will say, my father, the door to my destiny, the door of my assignment, the door of my calling, the door to the next level, the door of the marketplace, the door of contracts, the door of fulfillment, the door of finances, be thou open. How you pray is a proof of your passion for something. How you pray is a proof of your passion for something. Name we pray. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory and the praise. Let your name forever be glorified. Have your way in our midst tonight. In Jesus the Christ, mighty and matchless name we pray. Can I have the best amen you can offer for now? Before we get any further, I want to thank you for taking the time out to come. And as a wise master builder, I've worked a little bit with a few years of my work with God. 32 years of working with God, I understand few things. I understand one thing, and that is that every year at the beginning of the year, Christians like to receive prophecies. And they like to receive the anointing oil. And all of that. And at the end of the year, we all come back wondering why things didn't happen. And I said to myself, I said, how will fire fall on a broken altar? Except if we are in deception. Except if we are deceiving ourselves. We can't expect a different result when the way we start the year is still the same. Were you blessed how we got started yesterday? No, tell me the truth. Were you blessed? We cannot expect fire to fall on broken altars. The fire we are looking for can't fall on the kind of altars we have. The kind of breakthroughs that we are believing God for, we can't receive them in the state that we are in. When it was time for Isaac to be born, you know what Abraham was told? He said, Abraham, you are 99. You're about to step into 100. He said, before Isaac will come out of you, he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. He said, what you want to birth cannot be bothered with the current state of your walk with God. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But when it dies, the Bible says it will take root and bear fruit upwards. So there be some of them in the house of Jacob that will take root downward and will bear fruit upwards. I am super excited at the things that God will do in your life this year. If your amen is in the house of God, it comes in your direction. So in order for us to be adequately prepared, this year the Lord gave me a clear instruction. I was going to invite some men of God to come and minister here. The Lord said, no, no invitation, no ministration and songs, all these guests. No, no, no. He said, I want to walk in your midst. The Lord your God walketh in the midst of your camp to deliver you. It says, so shall thy camp be holy. When they were to cross over the Jordan, God said, you want to cross over into your prophetic destiny? He said, come together, everybody. He said, Joshua, gather them together. No guest speaker. No guest minister. Gather them together. The entire people of Israel. That is why the next few days, if you have a friend in church who doesn't join us here, is watching from at home, for whatever reason, you better tell them they are not doing themselves well. That's not how to start a year. Not that you are indisposed. Just sit at home. I like watching online. When your beginning is weak, your end cannot be strong. When comfort is your predisposition, it is very obvious that destiny cannot be maximized. Can I say that again? When comfort is your predisposition, destiny cannot be maximized. There's a price to pay for anything worth it. And inconvenience is that price. Inconvenience is the price you pay for greatness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's take a quick read at scripture before I quickly move into a few things. I just hope God help me with time. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. 1 Kings 18, remain standing, please. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. Come near. That was exactly what happens, Apostle. Pastor, in the book of Joshua, when they were getting ready to cross over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, he said, gather the people, tell them to come near, get them close. And then when they gathered together, I thought they were going to start singing and dancing. And the Lord said to Joshua, I said, Joshua, I'd like you to pick up something. And he said, what do you want me to pick, Lord? And the Lord said to Joshua, pick up a knife. A knife. I said, Lord, what do I do with a knife? He said, you will circumcise them. Listen carefully. He said, cut off the foreskin, the flesh that came with them from Egypt. Because where I'm taking them to, what came with them can't go with them. So when you hear Gilgal, it was at that point where the skin was circumcised. When the flesh was cut off, it was at that place that the Bible says the Lord said, today the Lord has taken away from you, rolled away from you the affliction of Egypt, Gilgal, where we go round and round and the Lord took away the flesh from us. Heaven is in a hurry to lift some of you. You hear what I just said? There are people under the sound of my voice. You're about to step into your Kairos moment. You're not hearing me. If you're not hearing that for yourself, say amen for me. Am I talking to somebody here? I know it. I sense it. And there are people under the sound of my voice right now. Your time has come. Your season has come. To handle in your hands what you've seen with your mind. To handle in your hands what you've seen in the dream. To handle with your hands What's your pride about? If you believe it, shout a big amen in the house of God. It said, come near. Verse 30. Elijah said, come near. And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You want to see rain? Repair the altar. You want to see miracles through your ministry? Repair the altar. You want to see signs and wonders? Repair the altar. You want to see the money you've been praying for? Repair the altar. You want to see what you've been seeking God for? Repair the altar. You want to see Nigeria step into a prophetic destiny? Don't repair parties. Don't repair political parties. Repair the church. Repair the church. If the church is fixed, the altars, the political parties will be fixed. It's time to repair the altars. And you know the details. I'm not going to take you through all of that. And I pray that the Lord will minister to us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, very quickly, you may be seated. I'm continuing on what I started talking about. Repairing your altar for wonders. Repairing your altar for wonders. Somebody say with me, I'll repair my altar for wonders. And the message that I'm sharing with you is also going to be a message for all our centers, all our churches. It's time to repair our altars for wonders. The altar is a place of fellowship and encounter. The altar is symbolic of where we have fellowship with God. So this time around, it's important that as I mention altar, please do not forget that the altar is not where we are in church. It is a physical altar. Now, God moves here, but God is not limited to this place. Because in the time that we find ourselves in, the altar of God now is in the hearts of men. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? So when I make reference to altar, I'm talking about the place of fellowship between you and your God. So the altar is a place of fellowship. It's a time of fellowship. It's a place of encounter. It is a time of intimacy between man and God. The altar is a place of revelation. It is a place where the Bible made us understand that when Jacob woke up, he said, I knew not that the Lord was in this place. And he raised up an altar unto the Lord in that place. He said, I knew not that the Lord was in this place. Why? He had revelation there. So the altar is a place of what, sir? Revelation. The altar is a place of direction. The altar is a place of repentance. The more you see God, the more you see yourself. Every Christian who tries to compare himself with another Christian will never grow. No Christian is your role model. It's great to be inspired by them, but the role model is Christ. We, as we behold him, we are changed every day into that glory, into that image. He gave us apostle, prophet, evangelist, so that we can come into the fullness of the stature of Christ, not the stature of a man of God. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What he was simply telling you is that the ultimate goal in terms of our aspiration is to be like Christ. There's nothing wrong with setting goals of financial success. But the peak of all goals is to be like Christ. The altar is a place of repentance. As I look at how Jesus loves, I will realize how far I am from him. As I look at how Jesus cares, I realize I'm very far from him. As I look at the sacrifice of Jesus, it leads me to a place of repentance. It leads me to a place of relationship with him. Because as I behold him, I am changed into his image. The altar is a place of consecration. The altar is a place where you lay down. As a result of the revelation you have from God's word, you lay down some things. Several years ago in the place of prayer, I had an encounter with the Lord, my final semester in the university. And the Lord said, will you be willing to hold on to the rope? Will you be willing to go into the pit while I hold on to the rope? And the Lord was busy calling me to come and serve him, to forget about my profession as a geologist. That was not a small choice to make. But I had to let it go. And 32 years ago, sir, when I began my walk with God, the Lord called me to a place of consecration. He said, son, other believers may do X, Y, and Z. You will not do it. I am not against you if you kiss your lady before you marry her. But as for me, sir, Mary Oye could never have gotten a kiss from me until her wedding night. You are free to hug your own before you marry her. Mary Oye did not get a hug from me until her wedding night. Am I talking to somebody here, sir? You can call it anything you want to call it. Listen to me. Do I have a regret today? Every successful destiny is powered by consecration. And once your consecration is compromised, your destiny has been weakened. The devil is not after anything but your consecration. Did you hear me, sir? Can I talk to people here? The devil is not after anything, sir, but your consecration. When the devil came after Samson, he didn't say, sir, where did you keep your money? That's nothing. Where's your car? That's nothing. How many houses do you have? Nothing. He said, tell me, wherein lieth your... I see power at work, but can you tell me about the power behind the power? Wherein lieth your power, mama? And he said, I have a consecration with God that my hair must never be shaven. Razors must not touch me. Sharp things must not touch me. And as soon as he told her, she said, we got it. It looks like you've told us the truth. So the devil was after nothing, sir, but the consecration of Samson. And as soon as they dealt with his consecration, come and see a mighty man reduced to a vegetable. Is it possible that you have said what you should not say when God did not allow you to say it? He said, ma'am, he said, you want to see oil multiply. He said, get vessels into your house. He said, lock the door. He said, take the oil, pour into the vessel. Nobody should see the pouring process. People should only see the vessels coming out. What was the error of Hezekiah? He took the people into the chambers of the Lord and showed them what they should not see. How many sisters need to rush to the altar of God and seek God for mercy? Because there are many ladies, sir, who carry the consecration. There are ladies watching me here. Other ladies can sleep around. Other ladies can drink around. Other ladies can mess around. Other ladies can play around. There are guys watching me here. Other brothers, pastors, leaders in the church, they can sleep around, drink around, mess around. They can talk around. But you are a Samson. There is a different consecration on your life. There is a Nazaritic call on your life. When you test what they test, they will not see what you see. This year, guard your consecration. Whatever it is between you and God, that God has told you, don't do. Listen, you may see 1,001. Paul said, do I not have liberty to go around with women like other apostles do? He said, but I will not. And because I will not, he said, I, Paul, unto whom this mystery is given. And then Peter opened his mouth when he looked at the mystery given to Paul. He said, our brother Paul, to whom this mystery was given, that many of us could not interpret. And in trying to interpret it, we wrested it to our destruction. He did not see Jesus physically, But by virtue of consecration, he rose to a level they could not rise to. It's not how fast you came. It's how powerful your consecration is. I, Paul, I rose by revelation. And the proof of revelation is always consecration. The more you see, the more you give up. Somebody said to me yesterday, "Say, Pastor, this was like a pastor's conference." I said, "Because the error of the church is that we've been babies for too long. Listening to sweet things. Just listening to exciting things. And fools being fooled. And those who are being fooled, fooling the one that's fooling them. And the church becomes a house of fools." Elijah said, "Listen, there's no rain in this place. There's no rain in your life. The rain of favor, the rain of blessing." He said, "You want rain? How many of us want some kind of rain in our lives? The metaphor. You want some rain?" So Elijah said, "Let's look at how to get rain. You want to see the wonders of rain?" He said, "Let's repair our altar for wonders." Everyone watching today, please, if you have to share the video right now, go ahead and do that. Because some of the things you're going to hear will literally bless us. The altar is a place of consecration. It's a place of sacrifice. "Gather unto me my saints who have made covenant by what, sir? By sacrifice." And I said something to you about the altar. I said, at the place, at the altar of sacrifice and consecration, I said, "Here, sir, ownership is rebellion. Lordship is proven by what, sir? Submission. Sir, you never find anybody who has an altar life. Anybody whose altar is a life laying claim to anything. My house, my car. I stand before God to tell you, sir, my wife is aware. There will be no argument. No single argument." She woke up a few days ago and she said to me, "Say, sweetheart." She said, "The Lord just spoke to me." I said, "What is it?" "Pastor Sunday is a living witness." She said to me, "The Lord just ministered to me that concerning our children's church, that the money I have in my company, the Lord said I should wire it to the children's church." I said, "Amen. Can I help you write it?" No question of how much do you have left. Because we live altar life. So that same morning, the Lord had whispered to me, said, "My son, you are going to see Dr. Paul Eneche." And the Lord said, "I want you to take, sir, just week, 2 weeks before, we are going to see Bishop Abioye." And I'm talking about something we've never given all our life, we are just given. Now we can, God is telling us to do something crazy. As I'm like, "God, you really want to empty us?" And I'm not talking about something small, please. Same morning, as our own was leaving, together, we went, met Dr. Paul. We said, "Sir, we are not coming here for any story, sir. We came to drop this." I said, "There's something we're moving into, sir, that requires that we tap into the grace that you carry." And right there, give us three statements that will forever change my life. Because our altar life, when you live an altar life, you don't own anything. Owners are rebellious. Submission is a proof that he has taken over ownership, that he is the Lord. My house, my car. My wife knows the day we hear, you see, I just get a whisper, "My son, take that land, take that house, sow it." Sir, if it's our house now, we relook. That day, sweetheart, is our last day in this house. Can we look for a new hotel where we can go and stay? From there, we plan our future. Because we understand that we are pilgrims in this world. We understand that we came to this city with nothing. Grace made all things. It's called altar life. Our life is given to you, not to talk about our substance. Our children are yours. not to talk about substance. My question to God is, Father, what else do you want me to give? Because I can never outrival my Savior. He gave his life. Even if I give my life, sir, it is not compared to what he gave. You don't have a real altar life if you see struggle over. Have you ever seen? He said, dearly beloved, present your bodies as what, sir? Say it again. Living sacrifice. Is that okay, sir? Holy and acceptable unto the Lord. So if you find sacrifices on the altar, they don't struggle on the altar. You don't see a sacrifice at the altar, say, I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here. Let me go. No, sir, you are given. When you enter this dimension, Father, where do you want me to go? I'm ready to go. The day I hear his voice, I drop my nets. The altar is a place of prayer. The altar is a place of death. I die daily. You can't visit the altar and not die daily. You must die to some things. I die daily. Katos edia. Ponte la sosi brandos. Shkatos edia. I came to speak to some of you who should have moved greater than where you are in ministry, in callings, in assignments, but unwillingness to die. Listen, there can never be a Lord called Jesus until he faces the cross. The Lord said to me, he said, son, I cannot trust you as a living person. So you want me to trust you with more? Die more. Die what? Die more. And the proof of death is no response. You didn't hear what I said? So let me ask you a question, sir. Have you ever seen a dead man? Man of God, have you ever seen a dead man at his funeral? People are talking, oh, he's such a gross, wonderful man. And he smiles. God, thank you. And he dies again. A dead man. And they say he's such a mighty man. He's such a useful person on the day. Listen. And the people start talking. You know everything what people will say when you die. He's a wonderful man. He's a powerful man. And then the man would laugh. And then when somebody now said, look, I will never forget, this man is a very terrible man. Eh? And then he wakes up, come out of the coffin. How dare you talk to me like that? And then goes back to the coffin and die. You are not dead. The proof of death is that praise does not matter. Even so, judgments, condemnation, criticism doesn't bother you. Yes, sir. I have heard things, Pastor Sean. I have heard things from you, from all of you. I have heard things. If I was to attempt responding to all of you, I will not be where I am. So death requires no response. Because God allowed me to hear so that he can determine how dead I am. And the worst thing that can happen is for you to hear the most painful things from those you truly love. What has no definition of who you are. Something that has no correlation with your intentions ever in life. When you hear those who trust in you, those you trust in, are making such statements. The tendency is to, mama, on the cross, hanging on the cross. You hear them talk like that. You now say, no, Lord, I'm coming down. I'm talking about the fact that the altar is a place of death. It's a place of death. The altar of God is no longer in physical locations alone. Yes, you can have an altar in your house. But trust me, the altar that matters to God the most in your house is the altar of your heart. You can have a beautiful altar in a church with all the gold decorations and all of that. Well, it's important to know, as beautiful as the altar of the church looks at, the altar of the heart makes the altar in the church alive. I want to ask you a question today. How is your altar? You want to see wonders? How is your altar? Altars, powers, wonders. Write that down. Altars, powers, what, sir? Wonders. Altars, powers, wonders. Altars, powers, wonders. Altars carry fire. Fire powers lives. The challenge we have is that as physical altars can be damaged, even so, sir, spiritual altars can also be damaged. As physical altars can be broken, even so, sir, spiritual altars can be broken. How many broken altars do we have lifting up holy hands to God? How many singing songs to the Most High God in the name of worship? How many are singing from broken altars? Damaged altars. Preachers preaching from damaged altars. And I will show you how altars get damaged. So why are we not seeing glory in our churches? Why are we not seeing miracles in our churches? Why, sir? We have pastors on the altar whose altars are damaged and they are standing on well-built altars. Never forget what I said to you. What gives life to the altar in your church is the altar of your heart. God bless the heart of somebody who walked up to me. She said, Daddy, she said, I belong to the worship team in the church I used to worship in. She just walked up to me and said, look, I want to tell you something. I belong to the worship team in the church I used to worship in. She said, but my life was full of compromise. She said, Pastor, I decided I'm done with that. And I decided to walk away. And I please want you to take me as a daughter. I said, you are one of the most honorable persons I've seen. Others would rather stay there and die there. Damage altars rendering service. Fireless altars ministering to God's people. The altar can be damaged. And just like the physical altar that is damaged needs repair, even so the altar of our hearts needs to be repaired. What are the things that causes our altars to be damaged? Broken hearts. Broken hearts will produce broken altars. Yes, ma'am. When your heart is broken, your altar can be affected. And those of you who are brothers, you know, when she changed her mind, you know you couldn't pray for weeks. Look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You couldn't pray for weeks. That was when the Lord has forsaken me. Eloi, Eloi, Sabbath, Matani, Tani. That's why you knew that language. Sister, when a brother breaks your heart, you know that you don't pray. Because broken hearts can result in broken altars. Number two, please write this down quickly. Number three, proud hearts can damage your altar. When your heart becomes proud, arrogant, when you become fool in your head with what God is doing in your life, when what is happening to your hand begins to affect your head. When the zeros in your bank account begins to produce a hero in your mind. Listen to this scripture, sir. 2 Chronicles 16 or 1 Chronicles 16, Uzziah. Sir, the Bible says for as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, there was a man of God called Zechariah. Am I correct, sir? Zechariah submitted to that man of God. Please, I'd like you to follow me carefully. Zechariah submitted to that man of God. And the Bible says, for as long as he sought the Lord under Zechariah, the Lord caused him to prosper. But after a while, sir, he became prosperous. And the Bible says that his heart was lifted to his own destruction. Where is your heart being lifted, taking you to destruction? All of a sudden now, sir, and I've seen it in church, sir. Sir, I've seen people. That is why there's a lesson I've learned. Be careful of broken people. They are not humble. Wait until they become rich. I've seen humility in broken and people in adverse conditions. let prosperity come, you will see the revelation of their true hearts. I laugh at some people in church. Mama, in those days when I would sit down in my office here, there are people that will come knock on my door. I will be with them for hours. When they were nothing. When Uzziah was nothing. But as soon as Uzziah now has gotten certification, Uzziah too is making some money. Uzziah too is a big boy now. And all of a sudden now, pastor, doesn't mean anything. My joy is that you can walk away and consider me to not to mean anything to your life anymore. It doesn't mean that I am going down. I keep praying for you that you will prosper. But you will never see me knock on your door under any guise asking for any help. We prayed a prayer very early in our lives as a couple. We said, Father, may we never have a reason why we will go to our children, biological children, to ask for help. Not out of pride. Father, bless us beyond that. And may we never have a reason to rely on a church member for any assistance. It is a great thing, Paul said. If you bless me, Paul said, it will abound to your account. He said, not on the ground that I need for it. And God has taught our hands how to walk diligently. So our hands have ministered to our needs. Not only our needs, the needs of those who are around us. I have watched arrogance. Mama, Apostle Goodart, you know how much of a blessing it was. Just Apostle Goodart did not teach me Bible. Did not teach me how to preach. But you know how much I honor him here. All Apostle Goodart will do is Sammy the Great. Sammy, he just affirms me and I honor him. We have just come from seeing him. We had to go at the end of the year. And listen, as much as I'm with Bishop Abioye, I had to let him know. I said, sir, God is leading me to Bishop Abioye. You have to be aware of this. Bishop Abioye, this is who Apostle Goodart is. Dr. Paul Eneche will have to call up Bishop Abioye in my presence. I said, Sam is with us. No double dealing. Manus was in my office, Pastor Manus, on the day I called Pastor Paul Eneche. And I guess I didn't know he was having problem in their own side over there. And we responded to me. You remember that day? That was the last day I decided to go there. And so recently he said, Sammy, what's happening? You've not come. I said, sir, that was the day I called you. The way you answered me. I said, sir, but I see you smiling with people online. I said, it's like it's only me you're angry with. He laughed and he said, come right now, come and sit with your wife. And we got there, and with his wife, we laughed, and I lay on the floor. And right there, everything was over. The wife said, sorry, that was who he was. He has changed now. I said, daddy, have you changed? You know what he said to me? He said, Sammy, almost everybody I talk to in America, they know you. He said, you're a big boy now. I said, sir. I went on the floor again with my chest bare on the floor. How many times? Sometimes I will lay on the floor. We are talking. He makes a reference. I'm on the floor. He's talking. I'm from my heart. To let you know that sons can have good clothes, but they will never have the rags of their father. And in the wisdom of fathers, they give you access. And then they allow you to see a little bit of success. And they watch your attitude. And some of us taste little attitude. And you think you have exhausted a father. Let me tell you something here. Fathers are inexhaustible. Because their roots are beyond your comprehension. Am I talking to somebody here? Imagine your son now. Because he has attained your height. To now think that he has attained the same height with you in life. 16-year-old boy. Eh? And all of a sudden, my own landed somewhere. When he landed there, he said, daddy, daddy. I said, yes. He said, what do I do? What do I do? I said, I thought you have the same height with me. Shkatozi yadaba. Why do altars get damaged? Proud hearts. Lucifer, proud heart. Achievements. One of our daughters got admission to one of the universities. Some of you know her. And she kept it away from me until the time she was about to leave. I said, daddy, there's a little challenge. She's watching online. I said, there's a little challenge with where I'm going to. I said, hey. I said, which university are you going to? She mentioned the name of the university. I said, that's where you're going to. I said, you don't know that my own person is the person in charge of their school of leadership and business there. She said, Daddy, I said, you see yourself now. And that's how we linked her up. As I speak with you right now, on getting there, first, the house she got, I had to make sure they call one of the pastors that is close to me there, who has accommodation. So she entered there, comfortable. She was picked from the airport. From the airport. It is what God has given those who have gone ahead of you. And as I speak with you, they just gave her a job in the university. As a project manager to the School of Leadership and Business. What am I saying to you? Humble your heart. Never let what enters your hand enter your head. It damages your altar. It weakens your power. It decides your height. There are some of you under the sound of my voice. The things you are struggling over, you don't need to struggle if you have the right heart to a father. If you have the right heart to some mentors. Unforgiving hearts damage your altar. Unforgiving hearts. Ah, what she did to me. What haven't you done to God? Now I'm asking you a question. Ah, Pastor Sam, you don't know what that woman did to me. That woman so kata kata kata. Pastor Sam, hey. I don't even have to pass up. You see, the weight of what she did to me can't make me speak English. It's called the burden of doom. Hello? You are still under call. If your altar must power your life this year, forgiveness is non-negotiable. Ah, but Pastor Sam, you don't know what he has done. The issue is that forgiveness for the unqualified. On what? Qualified. Unqualified. Indifferent hearts. When your heart become indifferent, your altar will be compromised. You no longer care about the things of God. You no longer care about prayer. You no longer care about studying of the word. Indifferent heart. It weakens your altar. Somebody's going to get ready to pray here today. Another thing that destroys our altar, fearful heart. What God has told you over time, you have refused to do, and so it has produced a disobedient heart. Fear has resulted in disobedience, and it has compromised your altar. Critical and judgmental heart. You are the only one that knows who is wrong, except you. You are never wrong. Their head is too big. Their legs are too long. Their voice too loud. His approach too aggressive. Like your own approach is a standard way to approach life. Critical and judgmental. It compromises your altar. Unclean and immoral heart compromises your altar. Yes, ma'am. When your heart is unclean, every little thing, you're always thinking about pornography. In the night, pornography. Morning, pornography. Masturbation. Every time in the bathroom is masturbation time. Sleeping with married men. Sir, I had something that really set me on fire. It was Dr. Ogbueli, Dominion Chapel. Mama, listen to what he said. He said, young people, he said, I don't encourage fornication, adultery. He said, but listen, even if you want to sleep with anybody, sleep with unmarried girls. He said, but the moment you sleep with a married woman, he said, your destiny is finished. Your case is over. You are a married man. Or a single man, you are sleeping with a married person. Sir, do you know that the major trouble of David's life was when he slept with Uriah's wife? You're not catching that. Do you know, sir, that on other cases, not as though God condones them, on other cases of David's affair with other women, David, God was silent. In fact, if it was not when Absalom slept with his father's concubine, we will not know that David had concubines. It it was in the time of Rehoboam that we even got to know that David had children that were not accounted for. One guy just showed up. And Rehoboam was like, who are you? Slow, we have the same father. I was like, the same father where? My father never mentioned to us that he has another son outside. Say, well, of course, he forgot. He can't. Right now, thank God that I'm among those who can come to tell you. There are others that won't show up. That was when we got to know again that David had a son outside that was never accounted for. The history of his mother and David, we don't know. All of that, sir, did not create issue for David. But by sleeping with Uriah's wife, the Bible said the sword shall never depart from your house. Young girl, don't think because the night is over, don't think the case is over. You try a married man, you can get the money, but you will not have the honey. Young man, sleeping around with married women, and they are busy promoting you, giving you jobs. Because judgment against wickedness is not speedily executed. The heart of men is set in them to continue in evil. But let the wicked be assured that he will soon wet the sword with his blood, except he repents. I'm talking about immoral hearts in church. Deacons sleeping with church members who come to see them for help, not our church. Pastors playing with people's daughters because nobody talks about it. And we are all fooling ourselves. It's our year of wonders without number. And so sometimes you find casualty without number. This year we're getting it straight. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, let those who name the name of the Lord do what, sir? Depart from what? Iniquity. You know that scripture? I didn't know. I thought we got a revolution and taking it away from you. Let those who name the name of the Lord do what, sir? Depart from iniquity. The proof of repentance is departure. You have not repented from anything you've not departed from. Doubtful hearts destroy your altars. The God that we serve is the God of the heart. The state of your heart will determine the state of the altar in your life. Your altar cannot be repaired until you know the state of your heart and allow God to carry out a work on your heart. God is about to bring fire on our altar. God is about to send rain upon our lives. I am super excited at what God is about to do. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered the hearts of men what God has in store for us. The Bible said these things have been revealed by His Spirit. My assignment is to prepare the way for the Lord. God is about to show up big time in your life this year. I said God is about to show up big time in our church in a very big way, in the ministry in a very big way, in your family in a very big way. As I steal the next 5 minutes, please hear me and hear me well. One of the major reasons why altars get damaged is wordlessness. No commitment to the study of the word. Wherewithal shall a young man keep his way clean? By taking heed according to thy word. Wordlessness will cause broken altars. Prayerlessness. The Bible said men ought always to pray and not to what, sir? Faint. Prayerlessness will compromise your altar. Fearfulness will compromise your altar. Passionlessness will compromise your altar. Carelessness will compromise your altar. Living carelessly not living with diligence and carefulness. The Bible says be careful for nothing, but be careful about wrong doctrines, wrong teachings, wrong associations. Carelessness can result in broken altars. Passionlessness, focuslessness. Your altar can be messed up because you are focusless. This year, David said, I will keep my face like what? A flint. I'm going for the kill this year. What I'm pursuing this year, my goals, nothing will distract me. How many of you are saying nothing will distract me? Yes. Nothing. Listen, one of the major causes of broken altars is worldliness. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father will not be. Can you see the issue here? That the moment your love begins to go for things of this world, the love of the Father begins to depart from you. Hey, some of you have forgotten those teachings. I'm going to be taking you to the part three of this. And tomorrow, by the grace of God, we are going to be tapping into some things in the realm of the spirit here. Because the ultimate goal is that the fire must fall. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Somebody say, I will not miss the fire. Oh, you are not talking like a Christian. Say, I will not miss the fire. I want you to stand on your feet. I want to pray. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory. I'm giving you the next 60 seconds to quietly speak to your God and your Father. If you sense in your spirit that everything I've shared today has to do with you, and you just want to come and make your way right so that the fire will fall on your altar, God bless you. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. You just want to come and make your way right with God. Just come to the altar. 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 You just want to say, Lord, I want to make my way right with you. I just want to get rid of all this stuff. Just come to the altar. Wherever you are, just start speaking to God in prayer. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory and the praise. We give you the glory. Your altar has been broken. Your altar of prayer has been broken. And you're saying, God, I've seen why it was broken. I've seen what broke my altar. And Lord, I want to fix my altar. Please quickly come to the altar. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody just open your mouth and begin to speak to God. If you're coming, come to join us as we pray together. Father, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Our God and our old Father, we have come to repair our altars. We have come to fix our altars. We have come to prepare the way for your coming. We have come to prepare the altar for your fire. In the name of Jesus Christ, every broken heart that have resulted in broken altars, proud hearts that have resulted in broken altars, disobedient hearts that have resulted in broken altars, unforgiven hearts, hardened hearts, fearful hearts, critical hearts, unclean hearts, immoral hearts, and doubtful hearts, Lord, we turn to you and we say in the name of Jesus, let your mercy run like a river, let your forgiveness run like a flood, cleanse us from our hearts, purge us on the inside, cleanse us with hyssop, make us clean again. Open your mouth and say, my Father, purge me, cleanse me, prepare me for the outpouring of your spirit. Open your mouth and speak to God in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray for everyone here today who is saying, Lord, my altar has been destroyed and we're fixing it back by turning away from the ways we've been going. We ask for your mercy to flow like rivers in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let your mighty river flow, the mighty river of forgiveness, the rivers of mercy, the rivers of grace. Let it flow across our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. And let our altars be repaired again in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, our God and our Father. Now let your ears be attentive to the prayer that we're about to pray now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Answer with signs following. Answers with wonders attending. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Everyone trusting God for a breakthrough today, lift your right hand up. God bless all of you at the front. You can join the seat right now. Join those of us in the audience. God bless you. Those of you out here, join us in the audience. Everyone trusting God for a breakthrough, raise your hands to the Father. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you because we're living in the days of miracle. But thank you because you've also given us the word that has assured us that before we call, you even answer. Therefore, I stand in the place of prayer and I lift up everyone here before you. There are people trusting you for supernatural breakthroughs. As your amen comes loud, I decree and declare by the Spirit of a living God that your breakthrough enters your hand in this season right now. I don't know what you are believing God for, but I stand in the place of prayer and I decree and declare, let your breakthrough come now. Let your breakthrough come now. Let your job come now. Let the contract come now. Let the door be open now. Let favor be released now. Let favor be released now. As the oil comes upon your head, let favor locate you. Let favor locate you. Your struggle is over. Your struggle is over. Your struggle is over. Your shame is over. Your reproach is over. I tear away from you the garment of reproach. You will not wear it again. You will not wear it again. You will not wear it again. As the oil comes upon your head, become a favor magnet. I didn't hear your amen. Become a favor magnet. You will see favor like you've never seen. You will see favor like you've never seen. As your head is anointed with oil today, I decree and I declare that you will begin to attract unusual favor. Attract unusual favor. Attract unusual favor. Your cup will run over. 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 Please, can we have all the pastors? Let all our pastors take it, move in the midst of the people. Please, can we quickly do that? Pastor Paul, Pastor Sean, please, everybody. Pastors, please, quickly help us. Everyone watching online, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Please, if you're watching online, as the oil moves across the house, thank you, Father. I hear the Lord say we will do this throughout this week. Every of the service, you'll be anointed with oil. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you need some, quickly, let's come. Let's come. Come quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We will do this throughout the week. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please, I want everybody out there to stretch your hands in the direction of this screen right now. I want to pray for you. Everyone watching, in the name of Jesus, yes. Listen to me. There is something that we call favor magnets, meaning everywhere you enter, you pull favor in your direction. You pull favor in your direction. Jesus was a favor magnet. David was a favor magnet. I want to pray for you today, everyone watching, and those of us online and those of us here, from today, please let me have your amen as we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. From today, let your head become a favor magnet. You will become a favor magnet. Everywhere you go, you will attract favor. Everywhere you enter, you will attract favor. Everywhere you step in, you will attract favor. You don't serve a dead God. You serve a living God. He is the same yesterday, the same today, and forevermore. You will attract favor. Favor in the morning. Favor in the afternoon. Favor in the night. Favor going out. Favor coming in. Favor in the marketplace. Favor in the house. Favor in the workplace. Favor flying. Favor driving. Favor walking. The Lord surround you with favor. The Lord surround you with favor. As the oil comes on your head, favor becomes loud. Favor multiplies. Favor increase. Favor increase. Favor increase. Please, as you come and begin to pray. What we've waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. Can you see what the Lord has done? Can you see what the Lord has done? What we waited for has come to pass. Oh yeah. See what our God has done. Oh yeah. See what my God has done. Can you see what my God had done? What I waited for has come to pass. Yeah. See what my God had done. In Amashadiata. See what my God had done. In Amoshidatoya. See what our God has done. Hey. What we waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. That's going to be your testimony this year.
Oh, see what the Lord has done.
Somebody see what the Lord has done. Yeah.
I can see what the Lord has done.
What I waited for.
What I waited for.
Hey, has come to pass. Yeah.
See what the Lord has done.
Somebody give him the praise and the house.
What the Lord has done.
Somebody just got healed right now. Somebody
see
just got healed. I rebuke the sickness.
Done.
I rebuke the sickness.
What we waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done.
Lift your voice and say.
The Lord has done. Can you see what the Lord has done? The Lord has done. What we've waited for, what we've waited for, has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord.
Your testimony.
See what the Lord.
What I've waited for.
What I've waited for.
Has come to pass.
Has come to pass.
Hey.
See what the Lord has done.
Lift your voice and say.
Come
lift your voice.
has come to pass.
See
what the Lord has done.
Just say, listen. Repaired altars, they carry power. Mommy, the Bible says in these last days, even the young men shall fail. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall renew what? They shall renew what? When I hear of Oswald J. Smith at 96, on fire for God, I said, where did he get it from? Even though our outer body perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. We, as we appear before him daily, get your prayer life back. Repair your altar of fellowship. Seek ye first this thing I'm talking about, and watch and see what 2022 will look like. China, repair the place of prayer. Intimacy with the Father. Repair it. Everybody here. See, your altar is not for public show. So you can't pretend to have an altar when you don't have one. So altar is not something we use to brag with each other over. You know getter, you know getter. And here's the problem with not having a good altar. If you don't have a personal active altar, you are open to attacks from strange altars. Strange slaps, strange beatings. Tomorrow we're going to dive into some dimensions of prayer. Please invite your family members. I will show you what the absence of altar does in families, and we will use prayer to correct them here. I will show you the damage that a damaged altar causes to family, and we'll fix it here. I'll give you an example. The moment the altar was damaged, Israel had no rain. All kinds of things happened to them. Elijah said, first thing, let us repair the altar. Repair the altar. Repair your altar. Don't miss tomorrow morning. We're taking prayer to another level tomorrow. So make sure you join us bright and early. And the King of Kings will bless you. Thank you.